So classes in the next few days will be leading up to the appearance of our dear Lord Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki. So I've chosen a text from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 9. I think everyone is familiar with it, so that's why I didn't ask to be written on the board. Many a times when Prabhupada would give a class on appearance day of Krishna on Janmashtami, this was the verse that he would quite often speak about. It's Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 9. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport. The Lord's descendant from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth, appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from the material bondage. Therefore, he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from the material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalist and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, Shirada Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishagonitai Ki Jai. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial. There is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature in the body and the activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to the material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnation. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, the Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Deva Nitya Lila Narokto Bhakti Vyapi Rido Antaratmaha. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts his truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth of faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvam Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands the Lord to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. This is confirmed by the following Vedic association. Tam eva vidivaiti mrityum eti nayam panta vidyati gyanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no other way to achieve this perfection. Sweta Vatara Upanishad 3:8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the body of the honey or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empirical philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesesha Sunyavadi Pastachya Desatarine. Take the blessings of everyone to say a few words. Vanchakalpa Trivisya Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patito Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So while the world is gripped with death floating around, Prabhupada in this verse is explaining, actually, to free ourselves from this death is by knowing the activities of the Lord. And this isn't the only time we have all faced this situation. This isn't the only time possibly we will be faced with the situation in other lives. The point Prabhupada is making is that we have to try and stop this so that we don't come under the grips of birth, death, old age, disease. And Prabhupada gives the remedy here. The way to free ourselves from this is to know the activities of Sri Krishna Bhagavan. Simply by knowing that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by knowing His activities, simply by knowing His Leela, simply by knowing His pastimes, that is the real immune we need in our life. All these other things might help us in our body, but the real immune is to know about Krishna and His activities. And that will protect us not just on a short-term basis, but on a long-term basis. And how is that? Then Prabhupada explains here, then after perfecting our life by knowing Krishna's activities, then we attain His transcendental abode where there is no janma, karma, chama, divyam. No birth, death or disease. So today I've been asked to speak the glories of Lord Ramachandra. And in the context, what I've just been saying, then we can learn a little bit about Lord Ramachandra. So maybe in the next few days, whoever's giving class might speak about the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. So I was thinking, what is one way of knowing a person? How do we sometimes know a person? Any idea? Hearing about them, yes? Any other way that we can possibly know about a person? Sorry? We ask somebody who knows the person, yes? If we love that person. So there's a saying, show me your friends, then I'll know who you are. Show me your friends, then I will know who you are. So the persons that we associate with tells us a lot about us. So with this kind of theme, I was thinking we can see who Lord Ramachandra was associating with, who Lord Ramachandra was having his leela with. So of course there's so many personalities in the Ramayana, so I just chosen a few mentally. I wasn't meant to give class, but I have to wing this one a little bit. So please bear with me. So the first personality, that person we have in contact in our life, is generally our parents. When we take birth, the first relationship, the first person that we have a relationship. So Maharaj Dasarath was childless. So in the Vedic custom, when a monarch has no child, then it's a great source of sorrow, because the tradition is the son carries on the monarch. So with the assistance of Vasishta and Rishyashringa Muni, then Maharaj Dasarath performed a great yajna. And this yajna lasted one whole year. And then as they perfected this, then a great personality from the heavens came, sent by Prajapati Daksha, and then there was this nectar that was given to Dasarath Maharaj for his wives to take. So Maharaj Dasarath was so attached to Lord Ramachandra that it is said that at the beginning he neglected some of his kingly duties because he just wanted to spend his time with his sons, Lord Ramachandra. And at the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, Dasarath was so elated, so happy, that he arranged 11 festive days to celebrate the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. No one went to work. There was no traffic anyway. Everyone just stopped doing what they were doing, much like what we're doing. And there was great celebrations, big feasts, big prasadam distribution. The Brahmins were fed. The Brahmins were given charity. So in this way, there was a big festivities going on. And when Vishwamitra, as Lord Ram grew, his teachings, his guidance was under his guru Vasishta. When Vishwamitra came to take Ram away, Dasarath could not yield to the request of Vishwamitra because he was so attached. So this is the nature of being with the Lord. This is the nature of the personality of Lord Ramachandra, that he invokes so much love and affection that you become extremely attached. So this is the kind of bar that we have to try and have in our lives, that we are so attached. In fact, it is said that when Lord Ramachandra was exiled to the forest, he found it so difficult to bear the separation of his son, Lord Ramachandra, that he gave up his body. It was very, very, very difficult for him to give up his, it was very difficult for him to live without Lord Ramachandra. Interestingly enough, Jagannath Mishra, when he was having his pastimes with Nimai, he actually, in the Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, he had the dream of this same pastime of Maharaj Dasarath when his son left. And after he had this dream, his dream also turned to that his son, Nimai, would also leave. And he would take the renounced order of life and become a sannyasi and leave the house. And then it is explained that Jagannath Mishra, who foresaw his son taking sannyas, also found it very, very, very difficult. It was only a matter of time that Nimai was going to take sannyas. So he had what they call a premonition that his son was also going to take. And he found this also very, very difficult. And that is one of the reasons why he also left his body a little bit early, because he could not go through this pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. In fact, there's some devotees in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they actually find it hard to accept Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. And in fact, they're in a little bit of denial in some ways, and they only concentrate on the Navadvip pastimes. They say this other pastimes of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, well, that's just for the Kali Yuga bunch, you know. But actually, the real intimate pastimes, the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip. So Dasanath Maharaj, he was very, very attached to Lord Ramachandra. So that's the quality that we can take from Maharaj Dasarath in our own lives, that we have to have this attachment to Krishna, the same strong attachment that Dasarath Maharaj had. The next personality I would like to talk about is Sita Devi. So after our parents, the relationship, which is also very, very strong, is when we enter Grihastha life, is our partner. So generally after we leave our parents' protection, then according to Vanashram system, then we enter married life or Grihastha life, and we enter in a relationship with our partner for the next 25 years. So Sita Devi is the wife of Lord Ramachandra. So Dasarath was very, very attached to Lord Ramachandra. His every life, his every breath was always thinking about Lord Ramachandra. So what about Sita Devi? What qualities did she have in relationship to Lord Ramachandra? So what comes to my mind was utter devotion to Lord Ramachandra. 100% utter devotion. So we have attachment to Lord Ram, and next is devotion to Lord Ramachandra. And what devotion is that? I'm sure you all know what devotion is that. In what sense does this devotion spell out in Sita's life? Service. Separation. When Lord Ramachandra was exiled, only Ram was exiled to the forest. Sita, Lakshman, they were not obliged to go to the forest. It was only Ram who had to go to the forest. But Sita was so devoted to Lord Ramachandra that she too could not bear the separation of Lord Ramachandra. So whatever difficulties that Lord Ramachandra would face in the forest, Sita also took that upon herself. So that is real devotion. Just putting away your own personal comfort for the other person that you love. And we also see this in the example of Gandhari that we've just been speaking about over the last few weeks, that she also found out that her husband was going to be blind. So she also voluntarily put a blind fold so that she wouldn't have anything, superior to her husband. So Sita was extremely, extremely devoted to Lord Ramachandra. And then the next is that even though Ravana tried to allure Sita away by being the queen of Lanka, by presenting so many different kinds of jewels, diamonds, Sita was not swayed by any of these things. So many a times we see in the world outside when people are in a relationship and a spouse sees another person that they might have something their own partners might not have, they might be swayed away and go to a place where they might think they can get more. But Sita, even though she was living in the forest, she could not be swayed by the whatever Ravana tried to give. So then also we have to be like that in our own Krishna consciousness. When different things are given to us, when different things are presented to us, like Sita, we have to stick. We have to be chaste. We have to be devoted to Krishna and our goal and nothing else. Because in life, different things will be presented to us. But we have to be like Sita, that we don't get deviated. So then, and the last one that Sita had so much faith and devotion in Ram, that when Lord Ramachandra asked her to go into exile, she also accepted that. And that's also such a painful, difficult one for Vaishnavas to accept. And even though she was with Ravana, she was constantly thinking about Ram. It is said that Ram was always on the lips of Sita. And then Agnidev also proved her purity. But because of one low-class Dobiwala, then Lord Ramachandra asked Sita to be taken to the forest. But did Sita complain? No. She just accepted it. So sometimes in our life we get so much inconveniences, we just have to learn to accept them. We have to learn how to tolerate it. Life is never going to be perfect. Life is never going to play out the way we want it to play out. So many inconveniences are going to be there. We have to learn how to just accept it, tolerate it, and learn to live with it. So that's Dasarat. We learn how to be attached to the Lord. Then Sita, we learn how to be devoted, chaste to the Lord. So that's Dasarat Maharaj. That's Sita Devi. So in the Ramayana, another personality that's always sometimes even more popular than Lord Ramachandra, who's that? Hanuman. So in some ways, indirectly, Hanuman is glorified as the hero of the Ramayana. So what quality does Hanuman have in relation to Lord Ramachandra? Servitude, dasya. So that's the mood that we should also take with ourselves, that we should be the servants. Gopi bhata pada kamalaya dasu dasanu dasaha. It's very, 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 very hard to be a servant. Let's face it. We all want to be masters. We want to be the Lord of all we survey. Very few people want to be servants. Very few people want to be servants. We want to be masters. Once Prabhupada was in a meeting in Japan with Daya Nippon, and Prabhupada was negotiating the Bhagavad Gita that I'm holding in my hand with about 10-15 people in the meeting. And Prabhupada was there. And then he was talking with everyone. And then they were negotiating the Bhagavad Gita deal to be printed. And there was a servant placing water here and there. Then after they struck a deal, then everyone left. And then as everyone left, Prabhupada and the devotees were last to leave. So then the servant was clearing everything up. And then as he was clearing things up, he was picking up these cards. So in Japan, they have a system that when you go to a meeting, you get your business card and you place it in front of you. So then this person, he collected all these business cards. And Prabhupada asked him, "What is your goal of life?" He asked the person who was serving everyone. And the person had this stack of cards in his hand. And he shuffled them in his hand. And then he showed it to Prabhupada. And then as Prabhupada saw it, what was the card saying? Anyone knows? The president of the company. The president of the company. So that was his goal of life, to become the president of that company that he was serving. He did not want to be a servant. He wanted to be a master. But no, our position, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, we are Krishna Nitya Das. We are the servants. And the sooner we accept this, then the easier our life will be. And then in our day-to-day life, if we execute this mood that Hanuman has of being a servant, then actually we will actually flourish in Krishna consciousness. It's easier said than done. You know, I know for myself, I like it when people praise me. I like it when people serve me, you know. I'm not going to lie about it. But actually, we have to serve others. That's actually the real happiness in Krishna consciousness. So the more we serve others, then the happier we become. And we even see Prabhupada in the beginning stage of ISKCON. He was constantly serving, isn't it? One of the hippies, one of the early devotees, they would come for prasadam, and then they would eat prasadam, and then they would disappear. That was the way it was. And then the next day they would come, and prasadam was all there and everything already. Everything was ready for them. And then again, so day in and day out, this would happen. So one of the early devotees was wondering, well, how is this prasadam coming here? Who is cleaning all this? So after the prasadam and everyone left, this devotee decided to stay back. Then he watched from the corner Prabhupada cleaning everything up. He was cleaning the pots, washing everything, and then he was getting prepared for the next day. So then he went to Prabhupada. He said, "Is there anything I can do to help you?" Then you think, do you know what Prabhupada said? Gopi? Yeah. So yeah, I thought you would never ask. And he also said, "Now your devotional life has begun." By wanting to help, by wanting to serve. Prabhupada said, now your devotional life has begun. Because we're so used to just taking and taking and taking. But when we give, when we serve, then our devotional life begins. So, under all duress, under all difficulties, Hanuman was chosen to be the person to find Sita. So Lord Ramachandra had great faith in Hanuman. So then Lord Ramachandra, he took off his ring and he gave it to Hanuman. And then he had faith that Hanuman would be able to execute this duty. Because Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Go Nitai ki. So Ramchandra had that 100% faith that Hanuman would be the person to fulfill this task by finding out where Sita was. And even it is explained that in the fighting, Hanuman was always the person who is fighting the most. But sometimes when we serve, we have to be a little bit careful that we don't let pride enter into our lives. So sometimes there could be that tendency, even though when we're serving, we feel quite good. I'm helping, I'm this or whatever. So then that little pride entered into Hanuman as well, who was the great servitor of Lord Ramachandra. And everyone knows this famous story, that when they were building the bridge towards Lanka, I think the ladies, they did this Leela. You remember Jagat Priya? Who did you play? The squirrel. So I don't know. Some people say it's a spider. Some people say it's a squirrel. I don't know. So I'll just leave that to you. Maybe happened in different yugas. I don't know. And the two Puranas got mixed. So anyway, the point was that Hanuman was lifting big boulders and he saw the squirrel. We'll take it, the squirrel. Because in India there's a squirrel, I think, and there's three marks on the back of the squirrel. And it said that Lord Ramachandra, appreciating the service of the squirrel, stroked the squirrel. So these are the three marks of Lord Ramachandra. So the urban legend says. So then Hanuman was saying to the squirrel, step aside, you know, your little flicking of sand is doing nothing to build this bridge. I've got this big, big seva to do. I've got this big mountain. So then Lord Ramachandra, he saw this. And then he went to Hanuman and said, no, that is the capacity that he can do his service. So his grain of sand is worth exactly the same as your big boulder. Why? Because it's not the amount, it's not the size that counts. It's the sincerity, it's the devotion, it's the bhakti that counts. And that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Paspam Polam, he doesn't ask for a gigantic 20-course feast or anything like that. No, he just asks for a little leaf, a little flower. So it has to be saturated with bhakti. So from Dasarath we learn to be attached to the Lord. With Sita we learn to be devoted. With Hanuman we have to be in a servitorship mood, not allowing our pride to come in. So the next personality I wanted to talk about in relationship with Ramayan, Lord Ram, was Vibhishan. So Vibhishan just happened to take birth in the wrong place. Wrong time, wrong place, as they say. So yet, even though he was in the wrong association, even though he was in the wrong place. He heard about Lord Ramachandra. He heard about the glories of Lord Ramachandra. And he could see that what Ravana did was wrong by taking Sita away. And whenever there was a council in Ravana's meeting, everyone said to Ravana, yes, you did the right thing. Yes, you did the right thing. Everyone was boosting Ravana's ego. But the only person who opposed what Ravana did was Vibhishan. And in fact, every time Vibhishan opposed Ravana, what he did, and asking Ravana to give back Sita, you have so many wives, you have such a harem over here, what is it with you? Give Sita back. Still he wouldn't listen. And in fact, he exiled Vibhishan from Lanka. And then Vibhishan, he came to the shores of where Ram was building the bridge. And of course, when you see the enemy come to your place, then everyone gets very, very worried. So then they all went, and they went and started pushing Vibhishan, and they said, look, the enemy's come here. Sometimes spies, they go into the enemy's place to try and find out what their military action is, what their motivation is, to see how strong their army is. So spies, sometimes they go here and there. So they all thought that maybe Vibhishan was a spy. So then Lord Ramachandra, he was told that Vibhishan is here. He's come to see him, and he has rejected Ravana, and he wants to take shelter of you. So in Ram's own council, what did most people say? Don't keep him, isn't it? We're all very, very paranoid. We're all suspicious of everyone. That's the way we are, human nature. We don't trust anyone so easily, no matter what their motivation is. So everyone was very, very doubtful. Everyone was paranoid. They said, no, don't trust this guy. He's a spy for sure. So what was Lord Ramachandra's response? He said, even if he's a spy, someone who comes to take shelter of me, I have to accept. If someone is even suspicious, then it is my duty to accept them. So that's the benevolence of Lord Ramachandra. So even though there was some suspicion, even though there was some paranoia, even though people weren't sure, Lord Ramachandra was without a doubt that yes, he might have some ulterior motives. Yes, he might want to see what our power is, but I have to accept him. So there's a very, very nice way that everyone addresses Lord Ramachandra, and that is Patita Pavana. Patita Pavana. So there's a song that we all sing, Raghupati Rajava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. So that is Lord Ramachandra's kindness, that even though we are the most fallen, he is still willing to accept us. So that is what we can learn from Vibhishan, that even though he came from a Rakshasa family, even though there was all this paranoia going around when he came to Lord Ramachandra, the Lord is very, very, very kind. He is Patita Pavana. And of course, we know the most merciful Lord Patita Pavana. Vibhishan was somewhat little bit cultured in some ways, demons are cultured in their own kind of ways. But in Kali Yuga, we're a little bit more worse than Vibhishan. We tend to be a little bit more like Jagai and Madais. So we are very fortunate that Patito Pavan, the same Lord Ramachandra, has appeared, as explained here in the Bhagavad Gita. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadam, Anantarupam. So the Lord, he appears in many, many, many forms. So one of his most magnificent form, most benign form, most merciful form is Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is some of the things I just wanted to say. So we should be attached to the Lord. We should have devotion to the Lord. We should be servant of the Lord. And we should be happy no matter what our status quo is. The Lord is willing to accept us. So even though we won't be able to celebrate Ram Navami the way we wanted to, when Vasudev and Devaki, when they were on lockdown by the government of Kamsa, so when Krishna appeared, they too could not celebrate the appearance of Krishna. So then Vasudev celebrated the appearance of Lord Krishna in his mind, in his heart. So in the next few days, although there might not be a big festivities here, then like Vasudev, who was restricted to what he could do in celebrating the appearance of Lord Krishna, he celebrated within his mind, So this is also a qualified way of serving the Lord. We don't have to have gross things given to the Lord. If mentally you can offer something to the Lord will be happy and he will accept. And we know this example how. There was one Brahmin. He cooked some sweet rice. And then he offered it to the Lord. And while he was meditating offering it to the Lord, there was no actual sweet rice. He was just meditating because he couldn't afford to make anything. He was such a poor Brahmin. Then in his meditation he said, "Oh my God, this sweet rice might be a little bit too hot." So he dipped his finger in the sweet rice to make sure it was the right temperature. And then his meditation broke. And then when he looked at his finger, what happened, Cyrus? It was burnt. Yes. So the meditation is just as powerful as actual putting things externally. So with this mind, we can serve Lord Ramachandra in deep meditation and have a big feast, big kirtans, big celebration. Just imagine there's thousands of people coming here. The Bhaktivedanta players are doing a fantastic drama about the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. And you're all enjoying it. If you want to enjoy it, you can watch it on YouTube, actually. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna, for your time and patience. Any questions?